Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, founded by researcher, speaker, and therapist Dr. Tom Wagner, offering mini retreats with live music and online resources to build resilience and community. SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, July 16th. I'm Abby Larico. A $10 million bucket of RAM settlement funds aims to jumpstart St. Louis City's efforts to tackle about 24,000 vacant properties. Ward 3 Alderman and Recorder of Deeds candidate Shane Cohn pushed for the funding.
When neighbors are coming together to, you know, address those, you know, vacant properties in their neighborhoods, you know, the city should be there.
The city's vacancy issues and what Cohn says the settlement funds can do to help, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri health officials say they're investigating dozens of reported cases of a parasitic infection that sickened thousands of people across the country this summer. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports, the numbers in Missouri are much lower than in Illinois and other states.
The Department of Health and Senior Services had logged 43 confirmed or probable cases of cyclosporiasis in Missouri as of Sunday. Local public health agencies are following up with patients to learn their travel and food history. Cyclospora is a parasite so small you need a microscope to see it. It's spread through eating food that's contaminated with human feces. The infection causes diarrhea and other digestive problems. The CDC has reported no deaths due to the outbreak. Authorities still haven't ID'd the origin of this outbreak, but those in the past have been linked to lettuce and other leafy fruits and vegetables. Federal health officials have logged more than 1,600 confirmed cases nationwide and are investigating thousands more. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Fair housing advocates are warning Metro East homebuyers to be on the lookout for so-called bond for deed scams. While there's nothing illegal about selling a home using the contract, they can contain problematic terms that could leave homeowners at risk of being evicted. That's according to Hope Fair Housing Center's Blake Mitchell.
Everyone has the right to safe housing. Everyone needs a place to live, and they should get one without being threatened by some out-of-state landlord who just wants your money.
Mitchell says he's seen interest rates as high as 17%, requirements for buyers to cover all fees, and terms that let the seller convert the contract to a rental and evict the buyer. Hope Fair Housing estimates there's more than 400 houses in the Metro East that could be at risk. Most are located in East St. Louis, Cahokia Heights, and Granite City. An East St. Louis nonprofit announced it's making another legal push to restore funding for after-school programs there and in other Illinois school districts. STLPR's Will Bauer reports this comes after the federal government cut the grant funding off.
The nonprofit After School for Children and Teens Now Illinois administers the grant program in the state. Two East St. Louis elementary schools each receive $500,000 to run their after-school programs and in-school tutoring for reading and math. School leaders have described the funding as a lifeline for the district and its families. But the U.S. Department of Education canceled that program in December. Act Now asked a federal judge to review the department's decision to discontinue that funding, but that request was denied last month. The nonprofit says it plans to appeal that decision to the Chicago-based Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri voters will vote next month to decide if Jackson County can elect its tax assessor. Even though the issue focuses on one county, which includes the Kansas City area, the entire state must vote on the issue because it involves changing Missouri's constitution. Amendment 2 will ask statewide voters to require that all charter counties in the state elect their assessor. Jackson County has been the outlier, instead appointing its assessor, but voters there already weighed in on the issue last year and chose to switch to electing the tax assessor. Republican State Representative Carolyn Caton from Kansas City is championing the ballot measure.
It really should be local. We should be making decisions on what's best for the residents of Jackson County. We are for local government making those decisions.
If Amendment 2 passes, Jackson County could elect its first assessor in 2028. Back to St. Louis County now. A Democratic state senator from Florissant says she'll rely on the county's workforce to help her if she becomes the next county executive. STLPR's Rachel Lippman has more from Angela Walton Mosley's appearance on Politically Speaking.
Mosley has been the minority caucus chair since 2023. In that role, she helps set the group's legislative priorities and leads their meetings. It's a role that involves a lot of listening, and Mosley says she'd do the same if elected county executive. She says she'd reach out to county department heads to learn what's going right and wrong, but most importantly, she says, she'd talk to the people working in those departments.
So a lot of times, people tend to ignore them, and they're the ones that are the ones that know what's going on intricately.
Mosley is one of three candidates in the Democratic primary. The winner will face Republican and Green Party opposition in November. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Rachel spoke with all three Democratic candidates for St. Louis County Executive on Politically Speaking. You can check out all three of those conversations at stlpr.org. Even the state auditor thinks it's too frustrating to get your license plates renewed in Missouri. Scott Fitzpatrick announced that his office will soon review the Missouri Department of Revenue's customer service. He says this comes after complaints by Missourians who are exasperated with the process of getting a tax refund, licensing their cars, or renewing their driver's licenses. Fitzpatrick said in a statement that he understands that no system is perfect, but he believes the performance audit can help make the customer service experience less frustrating. Southeastern Missouri got 3 months' worth of rain in just 12 hours last week. STLPR's Kate Grumke spoke to scientists about the extreme storm that caused deadly flash flooding in the Ozarks.
One observer in Iron County reported more than 12 inches of rain to the National Weather Service last week. This type of heavy, quick rainfall is already becoming more common as human-caused climate change warms Missouri. That's because a warmer atmosphere can hold more water, says Christina Dahl with the nonprofit Climate Central.
While we can't say yet the extent to which climate change influenced this particular event, we do know that it's consistent with the trends we've observed and what we know about climate change.
Dahl says there's been a 15 to 20% increase in rainfall intensity in southeastern Missouri since the 1970s. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Some of the world's best up-and-coming chess players will be competing in St. Louis this weekend. The St. Louis Chess Club is hosting four tournaments in which players will contend for national titles. The tournaments are the U.S. Senior Championship, U.S. Junior Championship, U.S. Girls Junior Championship, and U.S. Senior Women's Championship. The prizes go up to $100,000, and the tournaments will last until July 25th. St. Louis Music Festival Maddie returns to Grand Center this weekend. As STLPR's Chad Davis reports, artists are gearing up for the festival and say they're ready to introduce their work to new listeners.
This year's festival comes with a few changes, including its July date and indoor main stages. The Fox Theater, the Big Top, the Sovereign, and Jazz St. Louis are just a few of the venues. Acts include Wyclef Jean, PJ Morton, Zapp, Killer Mike, and Andrew Day. St. Louis artists will also be performing, including East St. Louis saxophonist Kendrick Smith, who will be performing Friday afternoon with his quartet. He says he's excited for new listeners to catch his show.
You get people that come and they'll sit down and listen to it. Doesn't matter what the style it is, doesn't matter what name it fits in, it's just good music.
See our guide to Maddie at stlpr.org/Maddie. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
$10 million of the city's Rams settlement funds will help tackle St. Louis's more than 24,000 vacant properties. The money will be used to find those properties with data, hire staff, and sue neglectful owners in an effort to return abandoned properties to the market. St. Louis Public Radio's economic development reporter Kayvon Mansouri spoke with Ward 3 Alderman and Recorder of Deeds candidate Shane Cohn about why he pushed to secure the funding to address the vacant property problem.
You know, I've seen a lot of success with the, you know, communities and neighbors that I work with down in the 3rd Ward, particularly in the Dutchtown and Carondelet neighborhoods. I don't think there's a single neighborhood in the city of St. Louis that doesn't have a vacant property sitting in it, you know, which naturally, you know, accompanies population loss over decades. And, you know, in particular, the areas of North City and Southeast City have seen, you know, just, I'd say, a glut of vacant properties. I think that when neighbors are coming together to, you know, address those, you know, vacant properties in their neighborhoods, you know, the city should be there. The city is often putting the burden of services and other things on the shoulder of our citizens. And when our citizens come together to tackle, you know, particular issues in their community, the city should be there to support them.
So this $10 million in the bill would create this vacancy reduction fund overseen by the Public Safety Department. It would address vacancy issues by adding staff, improving enforcement, implementing data collection, analysis, things of that nature. Can you talk to me a little bit about why you beat the drum so hard for these funds to go toward that?
You know, one of the things that I talk about as I'm advocating for this is, you know, Kansas City actually gives $1 million a year out of their general revenue to vacancy litigation programming. And, you know, they have a fraction of the vacancy rate that the city of St. Louis has. And so, you know, maintaining, you know, some source of funding for these efforts is really critical. And I'd like to see more, frankly. You know, the city, these are programs that are working. And my community that, you know, I represent, you know, we've had dozens of properties that have been addressed through these efforts, you know, through Dutchtown Main Streets and Chronolec Community Betterment Federation, partnering with legal services to tackle these vacant properties that are a blight on our community.
This is going to be maybe the biggest investment the city has ever made in tackling vacancy. How big of a deal is that?
I mean, it's a great, you know, movement forward to, you know, help support our communities, our neighbors who are wanting to come together to, you know, tackle vacancy in their communities. You know, I think for me, this is, you know, just the beginning of what we can do to partner with the various neighborhood groups to tackle this problem. As I've been crisscrossing the city, you know, having conversations, you know, either as acting president of the board or candidate for recorder of deeds, you know, vacancy is something that comes up often in neighborhood conversations. And I'm happy to see that other neighborhoods, particularly in North St. Louis, are also starting the, you know, to do the work around organizing and using the tools that are in our toolbox, particularly this vacancy litigation. And so I'm happy that we were able to make the appropriation out of the RAMS money to kind of solidify a source of, you know, funding for these programs. But we need to and we can do more and do better.
Alderman Cohn, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was Ward 3 Alderman and Recorder of Deeds candidate Shane Cohn speaking with STLPR's economic development reporter Kayvon Mansouri. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.